tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. What is up? How are you?
Hi. Liz, you made the intro.
I did. my name is Liz. This is Tom. How are you doing, Tom?
Liz, I'm doing really well. I am the assistant coach for a 4-0 high school girls lacrosse team. So I have everything in my life is perfect. I got no complaints.
Okay. That's fair. I wish I hadn't burned my hand, but other than that, yeah, no complaints.
Yeah. Show the viewers. Show the
No,
the
ew. No.
Come on, do it. They deserve it for tuning in on video.
No,
make
they
the
don't.
Audio only ones feel
it
like
looks
they missed
gross.
Something.
No.
Save it for the end then. Whatever.
It looks icky.
Oh, it's gross. Put it down.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay. So today we're going to talk about Dallas, which was a game that was played.
Yeah, I feel like that happens every time we play Dallas. We say that.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Brooklyn coming up this weekend. We're back at home. Very excited. And then you definitely want to make sure that you stick around for our interview with Jordan Listro, the captain of the Sun. We love her. She gave us a couple minutes of her time, and we very much appreciate it. So make sure you stick around for that. So Dallas was a game that was played.
Yeah. It's it almost feels like more of the same, sort of the script that we don't want to have happening. Maybe a little bit different because we're on the road, and I think we did look like the better team for long stretches, especially early on, as we typically do. Yeah, if you've watched a game, you've listened to the pod, you know the script, y'all. We look good. We control the ball. We control possession. We generate dangerous chances. We have a good conversion rate when we do shoot the ball. But, man, something just doesn't click sometimes from getting the ball off and making it happen. This Dallas game was a little different than a lot of other games that we played, a lot of other games that any soccer team has played. Yes, we did get scored on in, Liz, what was it, the fifth, the fourth?
The fourth minute.
My gosh.
And honestly, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
No one was covering Lexi Misimo.
Yep.
The one player that everyone is you know, hyping up for weeks now.
Yeah.
It's the prodigy that came to the USL instead of the NWSL. And it's like, no one was covering her in that minute.
The most hype signing of the winter break,
the
Dallas native Wunderkind who chose to stay home. But I did a big bit on her in the preview last week. And would you believe, she fulfilled her prophecy. The child, the one who would do it. She committed to the University of Texas in seventh grade, and then four minutes into a pro career for the local Dallas pro team, scores her first ever goal. You couldn't write it up better. I don't know if we left her open or if she got open. We left her open, yeah. Yeah. Are you doing the whispering thing as a like a video bit, or is your audio out? Yeah.
That's doing the whispering thing.
Right. Yeah. I love it. Keep in mind, we do have audio only listeners.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
My bad.
But yeah, it was, it happened early.
Yeah. It was, we hadn't woken up for the game yet, and we weren't covering her. And then because no one was covering her, Orcas got caught out, and it just kind of happens when you're literally one-on-one. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it was
it your
was
best.
The very first chance that Dallas had, I think quite possibly the first chance that the first time they had possession was in the fourth minute, and they made it work. It was everybody very much got sucked over to that left side. It's something that I think we're a little susceptible to with the way we play, the way we like to get upfield, the way we like to push our wingers, our fullbacks, our wingbacks, It just so happened, it very rarely does come back to bite us. We are a pretty stout team defensively, pretty strong offensively. We're a good squad. But this time, everybody was so sucked to the left and so pushed far up. We went to ball, and I think what it really was kind of a lack of communication. There were about three players just a little bit short of the midline. who were tracking up, kind of following the ball. I didn't get a good look at who it was. I'm still recovering from my lacrosse week, so I apologize. But somebody, the last line of defense, pushed to ball, and it's what you it's what you're supposed to do. Whoever has the ball is the most dangerous player. That's basic team sports, basic ball sport. But by doing that, she left Lexi Misimo wide open in a very dangerous area with 30, 40 yards to dribble and create a one-on-one situation with Orcas. And as good a keeper as she is, you got to score if you're the striker in a one-on-one situation, especially somebody as highly touted, as skillful, she proved it, as skillful of a player as Lexi Misimo is. She got her one chance early on. And made us pay for it.
Yeah, and it, yeah, there's not much more else to that, honestly. That goal just kind of sucked. And then I really did not. We had a couple of chances, but like we had a lot of trouble breaking up their midfield, and our midfield, Giamona, like sitting right in the center, and is how we got the goal. Our one goal is how we get goals. Giamona is this like. I don't know how to describe it. We send it to her, and then she magically makes it go to someone else, and then she makes the goals happen.
She really is.
I'm very technical.
No, you're absolutely right. It doesn't have to be something crazy. So I mean, you know the famous Pink Floyd album cover with the prism on it. Mm-hmm. Carly Giamona is the prism. The ball comes to her, and mm-hmm. she makes magic happen.
Yes.
She distributes it. She creates a beautiful array of colors by finding players. And that's how, you know, the announcers were saying it. Dallas likes to push wide. They like to exploit the wide areas, the width, get the game a little spread out. And that's exactly how they got that goal. They got their possession, immediately took the ball to the end to the sideline and spread our defense out, created some confusion. The first time we had to react to anything, and they did exactly what they wanted to do. We recovered well for the next 86 minutes of gameplay, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, backing up just a little bit, we adjusted okay. I don't feel like we were like really playing with intention after that goal. Like, not, it didn't rile us up in the way that it should have.
Yeah.
And DSB could see it. She swapped in she swapped out Paige for Bissette.
Yep.
And that did seem to work out pretty well. We also that was just before the half, and then at the half we swapped out Parker for Flint for Parker. I put all of these in backwards.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah. Very professional. Yeah, I think the Paige thing does come down a little bit to that was her side, the left side that got punished. So you got to think she's maybe a little bit at fault there. When it really was a team effort, I think three players in total could be faulted for it.
No, absolutely. And I think hey, this formation isn't working. Let's try the other one that we have under our belt. It does require a sub. And you could see that she let Paige know, like coming right off the sidelines about, you know, like, hey, just everything's cool, but like,
yeah,
we're doing an unexpected sub. But I feel like that shows growth because the last time we played them, we lost 2-0.
Yeah,
and I went back to my notes for that match. We just kept getting smushed in, and like we kept getting corralled, I think it was. And it was just bad. So a 1-1 draw against the number two in the league is not that bad. And we weren't playing poorly. There was no point where I was like, what the frick are we doing? I was gonna waste it on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it is frustrating, obviously, but it's a very good team. There is always maybe a little cause for concern when you do have to make a sub before the 45 minute mark. But I think a couple times this season, at least, DSB has left around in the chamber, so to speak. She's left a sub unused. So to see her pull the trigger, to continue my horrible gun analogy, is kind of a good thing. It's rough to see it happen to Paige because she's being put in that left back position kind of suddenly with the departure of Kristen Edmonds. But I think part of it is maybe the defensive look. Part of it is changing up the formation, how we want to run things going forward, how we want to possess, because we really do. We're a possession-based team. We really want to hold the ball. And there was at least one corner kick Paige took that just nothing happened. I think it swerved in and straight back out of the end line, curved out.
Fighting the wind. If you go back and you look at the corner flags, they are like flapping, man. They are going. They are working their I don't know where I was going with that, but
no.
Hey, it was wild.
On. Yeah, it was maybe the windiest game in Sun history, for what it's worth. It was crazy.
I'm assuming it just kind of like swirls in the middle of the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, it's got to be some weird wind in there. Dallas is, you know, it's on the plains. It's a windy city. It's not the windy city, but it is one of them. When you get the wind coming in off of it, it's straight up a bowl, folks. Mm-hmm. So when you get the wind coming in off those stands, those empty stands, it creates a lot of kind of a atmospheric chaos, if you would. So it's something you have to worry about when you're playing in Dallas. You can't control the wind. You can only control what you can control. But we, you know, it is something new to deal with, I think. I'm not saying that's why we didn't play as well as we maybe could have. You know, can't blame it on the refs. Can't blame it on the wind. But it was almost certainly a factor. It changes the way you play when you can't put the ball up as high as you want to.
I wouldn't even say that we didn't play as well as we could have. I mean, that first goal, yes, that was, what are you doing there? But it was a pretty even game. Like, it's not like they got one back after that. We didn't lose our cool after going down a goal, which I appreciated. We didn't fall to pieces. We didn't, you know, it didn't get in our heads. You could tell because we didn't let any more in. That was a change from the last game, at least.
Yeah, really.
So an improvement.
Yeah. When you put it that way, against a better team than Fort Lauderdale, we looked better. We played better. It was a better game.
Yeah. There was an improvement. It doesn't feel like one because it was the same result.
Right. Yeah.
But there was a noticeable improvement. And if you like, if you watch absolutely nothing, go watch the highlights. Go watch this beautiful goal. That we get Parker Goins' goal comes in like 4 or 5 minutes in. Oh, just a thing of beauty. So the way it goes is and God bless our patron saint, or Giamona. We love her. She's God bless her.
Italian excellence.
Yes, because she could have taken the shot very easily and kept added to her running total, but she decided to pass to Parker and make sure that we got that goal for sure. She was very unselfish, and I appreciate that. So started out, Giamona passed to Flo, and then Giamona immediately checks back in the box, which is what she does so well, honestly. Yeah. Is she has this foresight, this way to predict play, the way to how she wants to orchestrate things, is absolutely really just phenomenal, because she checks right back in so that Flo can pass it right back to her. She's right back in near post, and then she's able to pass to Parker. Parker scores.
Yeah. Yay. Easy tap in sort of deflection goal for Parker. And like you said, Giamona is so important to us, not just as a goal scorer, and she is the second leading goal scorer in the Super League and rapidly catching up to Addie McCain. Inshallah, she passes her. But more so than just as an offensive goal scorer, she is a total weapon, a complete package. The game really does run through her. She is the prism of the team. She gets the ball, and the first look isn't even always to goal. It's where can I get this ball into a more dangerous area? She trusts her teammates, and it shows. I mean, Dallas didn't generate a lot of chances, and that whole game, like you were saying, they made us pay for that first one. But besides that, it was very much Sun Soccer from then on out.
We held them off. Yeah.
And
they were a lot less dangerous. They were the most dangerous in that first 4 minutes than they were the entire rest of the match, quite frankly.
Yeah. And in even that, you find it hard to say it was a goal against the run of play when there has only been 4 or 5 minutes worth of play, but it was very much a goal against the run of play, considering the 1 through 4 minutes and considering the game as a whole. It's a lot of, you know, we look good, we possess well, we connect passes, and then it's something else has got to click. And I think the addition of Parker Goins, who got her first Sun goal in her first game, just a couple of minutes into her first pitch action for us, shows that we're making the right front office moves, the right signings. We have an identity in mind. We're not just signing players to sign players. Dallas has got a very good squad, but it does kind of seem like, hey, let's get whoever is good from Texas. And to be fair, Texas is a great soccer state, so they're a good team. But we are coming into this with Denise Shilty Brown's game plan, what we want to do, how we want to attack. And it's very attacking and possession centered. And we're making it work for us. And we're making it work a little bit better every game.
Yeah, I not to jump too far ahead, but I think the Brooklyn game will be hard. I have higher hopes for it now than I did last week or two. Yeah. Yeah, last week. Excuse me.
Yeah,
much higher hopes for it for sure. There's a couple of key pieces that we'll talk about later, but I think we look good. We don't look great yet, but we look good and we look consistent.
Yeah.
And consistent was a hard one for us.
It doesn't matter if you're fifth, fourth in the standings. I'm not sure how they run that tiebreaker with us right now with Fort Lauderdale or exactly where we sit. It's not super important to me at this point in the season. But as long as we are in stuck at Fort Lauderdale, we're fourth place.
Right.
We're in the playoff spot. We're talking all the crap we want now. Let's go. It is important to me now that I know we're fourth.
Yeah, we're fourth. They're fifth. We have it on goal differential, I think.
Yeah, the stats are great. The standings are perfect. The USL tiebreaker rules are wonderful. Fort Lauderdale sucks. You were better. Now that I know.
No, all of that is accurate, and I agree with all of it.
It's Sun syndrome. We came into the season expecting such huge things out of this team. And the huge things didn't materialize immediately because we didn't have everybody. And then for a while we got everybody and things were pretty good, but not great. And now we just sort of keep adding pieces, like one player, two players a week. But it's all very purposeful. You can worry sometimes as a fan of a team when your players or when your team is signing players at this sort of rate. We sent 4 players out in the winter break and we brought 4 players in. And that's a lot of turnover. You can very easily get worried that we don't know what we're doing, that we're panic signing. But everything that happens.
I'm not going to lie. For like the first two, I was just like, it was like, there was the we're still signing in the beginning of the season. Now I'm like, we're still signing?
Still signing?
What?
We're not done until we figured it out? No? Yeah. It happened. I remember when we released Jasmine to go back to play in Liga MX Femenil. We were like, oh, okay, this is, I know we wanted roster news, but that, not that, we liked her. No. She was, we thought she could fit in. But every other thing, I mean, we lost, I don't have the list in front of me, but we lost Riley Parker.
Riley Edmonds.
Edmonds, yes.
There's one more. We went
to Czechia.
Kozol,
yeah. Go. Yeah,
and producer Eureka for the win. Thank you.
Right. Thank God she's here.
Stouty. Wow, there's 5. I'm bad at counting.
Is that 5?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of those happened before the winter break, is what it was. But yes, Stouty as a right back, super important. Edmonds played like every minute of every game at left back, and you could see it this week against Dallas, where there's a little bit of a question mark still. As far as what are we doing at left back? How's that work operating? But I think that's Zayd has been.
But it feels like a question mark in pencil instead of pen now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it feels like we at some point we can erase that. We make an exclamation point or something happy.
I think we're not tinkering so much with the defensive end, and I don't think we need to. I think what we have works. Zayd can, it can't be overstated, I think, the impact Zayd is having. Yeah. Stouty was very, very good. But when you look at her versus Zayd, I don't know if Stouty was as impactful in the run of play as Zayd is. She's got the Z factor. She's got the flip throw. And that, it's not a meme. It's not a joke. It's not a gimmick. It changes the way you attack on that right side.
If the ball goes out of bounds, you
win a free kick, basically.
She's hungry in a way. Like, Stouty was hungry. Okay, if Stouty was hungry, then she is, like, voracious for the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I meant it when I said it last week. She is like a Sydney Nocello on the left side.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's great because Sydney Nocello will attack the ball like it insulted her mother. I love it. Like, yeah. She will go after it. It's great. I say that with all the love in the world. I love that kind of passion.
I think Stouty was playing like a NWSL lone player where she just needed to prove that she's learning and growing as a player and being consistent. And when she gets back to Cary, North Carolina, they're going to say, hey, great work out there. Let's get you involved in the NWSL season. And I think Zayd is playing like somebody who got passed up by the NWSL and wants to show them they done messed up.
Yeah.
So she's killed it. I think there's a revolving door of conductors just trading the hat off on the Zayd train. I can't.
It's all of us. We're all on the Zayd train.
It's a really big hat. We're all wearing it at the same time. You've heard of hat stack? Get ready for wide hat.
Yeah.
Whether you realize it or not, you are also wearing the conductor's hat on the Zayd train. Mm-hmm. You're in there with us.
Yes. By listening to this podcast, you have joined the Zayd train.
And there's no room in the back. We're all just up front.
Yeah.
It's a weird, really weird shaped train. Don't think about it
too much. Takes up a lot of space.
Yeah.
It's the trolley. It's the trolley.
More of a Zayd trolley. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. All right. I mean, that about wraps it up for that game, honestly. Not a lot else happens, to be quite honest with you. In some ways, that's good. In some ways, that's good. I'm okay with that. A boring game can be a good thing.
It's an away game.
Not a boring game. An uneventful game, excuse me. Yeah. I shouldn't say boring.
It's an away game, so it doesn't hit the same way a home game does, you know? We're soaking every second in when we're in the heat wave. We're absorbing it. We're talking to people. The road games, we're sitting there, you know, chewing on our fingernails, watching a television screen. You know, a couple other events jumped out at me where, like, Zayd had an over-the-bar clearance that she may have gotten pretty lucky on. You know, it was a serve in from the right side by Dallas, and you do the only thing you can as a defender sometimes, and it's played out the end line, and it went over the bar but pretty close, and it's a pro move that she made it work, but you could tell by her body language that it was a little bit closer than she had wanted it to be. So she hasn't gotten credited with an own goal mistake in her, you know, second ever pro game, and I bet she feels pretty nice about that.
Yeah.
So as far as the stats are concerned, great work. Nobody's going to remember that you almost banged one in. And then I think around the hour mark, Sydney Nocello, shout out Sydney Nocello this game. She was, like you said, hungry. She was a workhorse. She was. I watched this game on Saturday, and I will admit, I was deep in the bottle. And then I watched this game just before we started recording. So I was watching as well as I could. I couldn't tell what position Sydney Mazzello was playing.
She plays all of them.
She was just everywhere.
She is the team. Yeah. And I say that with love, because I like I said, I the fact that she will chase down the ball till she gets it, and then we'll dribble until she is physically taken down. Yeah. Is a thing of beauty, honestly.
Yeah. She's everyone on the team has a role, and we're fourth place in the league. They're fulfilling their roles quite well. Sydney has the trust of her former college coach, DSB, to play soccer player. Her position should be listed as SP, soccer player.
She plays all the soccer.
Yeah. Does she need to defend? Sure, she'll do it. Does she got to send it in from the wing? She'll do it. Is she got to show up in the middle? Absolutely. Score a goal? I can do that. You know? So as important as we're harping on about Carly being like the conduit, the prism that everything goes through, it doesn't get to her a lot of the times unless Sydney Mazzello wills it to her sometimes.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. And she, so hyping her up, loving her, she had a banger of a shot. She was there to get another goal at the 60th minute. And
she wants a goal so bad. Yeah, she wants a goal so bad.
She's got one. I did check. She's got one. I had to check, but she does. She scored in the 5th minute. I want to say against Brooklyn last time we played them. She scored super early, 5th minute.
Okay. All right. I thought she was still at zero, but I will take your word for it.
If you watch her play, you would assume she has never scored a goal in her life.
the way she shoots, yes.
Yeah, that does come across as like an insult, kind of. My bad.
Yeah. No.
I mean how badly she wants to score. Not yes. Like, oh, she's never scored. She maybe has never dribbled. No, she dribbles well. She shoots, but she wants it. So she had a banger.
No, this is not a Shania Gordon situation.
Get her. Yeah. You're on like 29 shots and one goal, Shania. Great work. I know you listen. I'm in your head.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, right. But yeah, 60th minute, Sydney, it was well outside the box. So kind of an ambitious effort is the friendly term that people use for a shot like this. Hopeful is another word that I like to hear used. But it was certainly an ambitious, hopeful shot. But it had some motion on it. It had some power behind it. And it forced the Dallas goalie to make one a really acrobatic save to punch it over the bar. So it's there. It's there from a lot of players. It's there from Jamona. It's there from Flew Nielsen. It's there from Parker Goins. It's there from Mazzello. We're getting more and more dangerous. And the more I talk about the Tampa Bay Sun, the more I talk about my favorite soccer team, the more I like them, and the more I'm like, I think we really got a chance against Brooklyn this week, you know? So I like what we're doing, and it's coming together. So that was the Dallas game. A little bit of nothing, a little bit of promise, one mistake, and one really nice goal. So it was a well-rounded game.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, great game for considering, you know, they're number two. They have Lexi Misimo. They're at home. 1-1 draw. I love it. Sounds good. Let's do it.
Yep.
Consistency is beautiful.
I'll take a 1-1 draw on the road in the Cotton Bowl against Lexi Misimo and the Dallas Trinity. A lot more than I'll take the 2-1.
All we got to do next time now? Is get one more goal, because we got it. So we started at 2-0. We did a 1-1 draw, and then 2-0 loss, and then now we're back at a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, we're pushing.
So I like that we've reset to zero now.
We're pushing that boulder. We're doing it.
Yeah.
We're Sisyphus. If I thought Sisyphus could get the boulder up the hill.
Yes.
He can. We can. We're different. We're built different than Sisyphus.
That's right. I'm built poorly.
Yeah. I'm built different, strangely.
Yeah, poorly. I love it.
Right.
So coming up next, we do have our interview with the captain of the Sun, Jordan Listrow. You want to make sure you stay tuned for that. But first, you should check out shop.rblrsports.com. I almost had it, and I transitioned so well, and I almost had it. That's okay. You should go check it out and get your Let's Go the Sun shirt.
Let's go the Sun.
Let's go the Sun! Shot, use promo code HEATWAVE for 10% off.
Hi, Jordy. So we have Jordy Listrow on today. She is the captain of our Tampa Bay Sun. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk to us. So right off the bat, did you have a good Christmas break, winter break? Did you go visit some family? What did you end up doing?
Yeah, I actually went home to Toronto for a week and a half and spent Christmas with my family and then came back to Florida. So it was nice being home for a little.
That's great. So did you, I have to ask then, it was a little chilly when you got back. I'm sure it was still warmer than Toronto though, right?
Yes, much warmer. It actually snowed a lot during Christmas this year, which was kind of nice, but I was ready to get back to the sun.
Yeah, I bet. So what do you think you learned in the first half of the season that you can really take and like go running with it and into the next season?
I think it's just interesting because obviously this is the first year of the league. So no one really had like a scouting report the first half of the season. We didn't know what the other teams were going to bring. So we really tried to focus on ourselves as much as we could. But now obviously having the knowledge of the other teams going into the second half of the season, I think we're going to be better prepared for each opponent.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I would say that between the first half of the season and now this second half of the season, there have been a couple of changes that it looks like the team has tried to institute, especially with regarding, the changes in the roster and also at the moment, the availability of players due to injuries. Can you walk me through the process of dealing with all of those changes, both in players and tactics as the captain? Naturally, you do take a lot of responsibility. I think I was saying this before we started recording, but can you walk us through how you specifically work to keep the team focused and keep the team moving forward in and amongst all of these new instructions that you're getting?
Yeah, I think when we got back to training, I mean, everyone had like a nice break and then we came back, you know, re-energized and ready to work. And we've had great additions to our roster as well. Obviously, we lost some, but at the end of the day, we trust everyone on the field. I mean, we all train together. We all work super hard and we all listen to our coaching staff in terms of tactics. So I think it's just making sure the culture is good and making sure everyone is feeling confident in their role, because there's been so many changes and obviously there are changes in position, and with injuries, sometimes, you know, you're going to have to move around a little bit, but I think this team is special in terms of culture and we all just want each other to succeed. So we're able to help each other on and off the field.
If I can dive in just a little bit more based on that, you said that this team is special in terms of culture. Is this something that has been built up by the coaching staff and the players already over the course of 6 months? Or I guess it's been a little longer than 6 months now, but what do you mean by the culture that is specific to the Tampa Bay Sun?
Yeah, I think our coaching staff did a great job in the recruiting process, to be honest, because we not only have great players, but we have a great group of people. And for me, it's a unique experience because I've honestly never been on a team where everyone just gets along so well. And then, of course, you know, you add in team bonding activities during preseason and then just the relationships that we're building on the road or on the field. So, yeah, I think that just we're in a really good spot in terms of team culture.
I unmuted because we have lawn care here today. I apologize. So then building off of what you were talking about, building relationships, how do you think the team has integrated into the community? And then is there anything you could share even around the community or team bonding, anything like that?
Yeah, one of our focuses is getting out in the community and doing as much community service as we can, and then also engaging our fans. I think that, you know, doing the soccer clinics or community service activities that we've been doing just help us see that there's actually a great fan base in Tampa and we're able to give back, which is so important to us.
That's awesome.
What was one of the community projects you've done recently?
Some of the girls actually took part in a local club soccer clinic. So that's always fun to see, just like signing little soccer balls for them and then helping them out with training. I mean, I just remember when I was a little girl and looking up to professional soccer players. I mean, it's such a great experience.
Jordan, I also wanted to ask you a little bit about, I know that within the last couple of weeks, we have finally had the chance to host Fort Lauderdale, and it seemed like a contentious game. I don't know how much you want to get into the specifics of anything like that, but I would just ask you ahead of time, was there some feeling of animus towards Fort Lauderdale? I know that Tampa Bay specifically has an old roster or an old rivalry, I should say, with Fort Lauderdale through the Rowdies and such. But this looked like it was still, this looked like it was just picking up on where they left off at times. So, you know, did you guys feel that in the stadium? Did you guys feel that ahead of the game? Walk me through what it was like.
Yeah, I think going back to the game that we had prior in Fort Lauderdale, I mean, we were winning 1-0, and then the final minutes of the game, you know, they scored a late equalizer. So that didn't leave a great taste in our mouth, and we were ready to play them again. So that added to it, I think, as well, just trying to get those 3 points. But yeah, I mean, it's great. I think the rivalry is amazing because we're so pumped to play them, and I hope they feel the same. And then, you know, their fans are able to come to the game as well because it's only a couple hours. So the games are fun.
Yeah, it's one where I think that we're trying to set something up where we can get a good group as well to go down to the Fort Lauderdale hosted games at some point in the future. And maybe we can get our own good away section there. That would be fun. But yes, with the game coming up against Brooklyn, this is obviously one of the, well, they are at the moment anyway, the best team in the league, according to the standings. I don't know if everybody agrees with that on rosters and all that kind of stuff. But walk me through the preparation between 1 week to the next when you're going to a team this good. What are the, or not going to, but playing a team this good, what are the messages that you're taking away from the coaching staff so that you can be fully prepared?
I think that we're reviewing our last game against Dallas and focusing on ourselves and things that we've been trying to implement throughout this little preseason that we've had in the new year, and then kind of looking at areas that we want to improve on against Brooklyn. And then obviously the game that we played in the fall wasn't our best game against them. So taking away a couple things tactically and obviously trying to improve for this week.
Well, I'll have one more question for you, and then I'll turn it back over to Liz. But the question that I had, Jade Moore is one of your teammates and obviously a very decorated player. What are some things that you've been able to take away from her? Because I know that she comes from the highest levels in the international game, certainly. And I can't imagine that she doesn't have something to try and teach everybody. So playing alongside of her, what are you picking up from that experience?
Yeah, I mean, I love playing with Jade. We actually crossed paths in Orlando too, so it's nice to be reunited. But I mean, she's great. She's very vocal on the field, which helps a lot of players in front of her and behind her. And obviously she's great on the ball and tackles really hard. So it sets the tone for the game as well early on. So yeah, she's great to have on the team. And of course, her experience is able to help the younger players on our team as well.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So I guess I have to ask, I'm a little bit biased as one of the main members of the Heat Wave, but how do you feel that the supporters have been in the stadium?
Incredible, honestly. I think our home atmosphere is so exciting. We love playing at home for that reason, to see the stadium filled and to hear everyone cheering. I mean, you hear it as soon as we get close to goal. It's like so loud. And I mean, sometimes I'm like, okay, Jordan, you got to start screaming a little more because no one can hear me. So on the field. So I'm working on that. But no, the support has been amazing and we're so thankful for it.
Oh, and we love to be there, honestly. We love cheering you on every week.
Thanks.
Well, with that, I think that we can wrap this up. Jordan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this week. Obviously, RBLR any one of us, we're always lucky to speak with the players that we're actually trying to cover each week. So any time that you can give us, we appreciate that. And we'll get into your whole backstory at some point in the future. But this has been a lot of really good pointers for the time being. So, yeah, thank you so much. We will call it here.
Thank you. Okay. And thank you again to Jordy for giving us some of her time. We very much appreciate it. And we cannot wait to see the team on the field this weekend. Yes. Which, speaking of this weekend, let's look at Brooklyn. Oh, no, wait. We have a signing first. I'm so sorry. I went out of order.
Hey, we'll roll into it. We'll roll into it. Because when we do play Brooklyn, you may see a new player on the field. Would you imagine that? The Tampa Bay Suns signed another player. Who could have guessed?
We're still signing.
We're still signing over here. We're still signing over here.
Signing over here. Oh, yeah. My God. We need to sing that on Saturday.
Add it to the hymnal, guys.
Crap! I think Eric already printed.
We'll bring pens.
We'll have to find out.
Yeah. So, yes, we are still signing over here.
Yeah.
And who we have signed is, look, I'm not going to say it's my job to be excited about signings because this isn't a job, but as a fan, it's my privilege to get excited about all my team signing, and I am very excited about this one. I think this is a steal. I think we swept this right out from underneath the NWSL. We have signed forward rookie out of the University of Arkansas, Fayetteville, the Razorbacks, Woo Pig Sue Wee. We have signed Ava Tankersley, the Tank. She is a very, very promising young striker. I wouldn't even call her a striker, actually, because she has played striker. She has played wing. She has played attacking mid. She could play anywhere across that front line very comfortably. She is a four-year player for the Razorbacks. She comes to us out of St. Charles, Missouri in the St. Louis area. A great history of soccer there. She played for St. Louis Scott Gallagher, which is about the biggest, not even about, which is the biggest youth club in the St. Louis area. A lot of history, a lot of good products there. She was a starter for quite a long time at her high school, Fort Zumwalt South, much better than Fort Zumwalt North, South, or Northwest or East. So she killed it in Fayetteville for the Razorbacks. She has 102 collegiate caps for them, 38 goals in those games, 32 assists. Those numbers are very even, which shows how versatile she is in the attack. And it will bring a sort of creativity, a sort of connectivity that we have hinted at needing. Something to connect the dots, something to finish up, something to make.
It's giving Carly Giamona stats.
It's giving Giamona. Thank you. Here's what I really like about Tankersley is she is a back-to-back SEC forward of the year the last 2 years. 2023, 2024, her junior, senior year, she was named the best forward in the Southeastern Conference. She was named to the 2024 NCAA All-American team, one of the best 11 players in college soccer last season.
Okay, so if we still had a draft, she would be up there in the draft. Like, the NWSL still had a draft. Like, if we want to try and put this in perspective.
Yes.
To, like, actually, like, quote-unquote, quantify things.
Yeah.
I don't know how many big the rounds were, but she probably would definitely be a first round draft pick.
First rounder, a top 10 pick. Absolutely. She'd be right up there in the draft with Lexi Misimo if the draft was an option. And it goes to show it. I know she was on trial with Casey Kern. And if you look at that roster out of Kansas City, they're a very strong team in the offensive end. They don't need an additional attacking piece. They score goals. They were, I mean, in the regular season, what, Lizzie? They were the second best team behind Orlando in the regular season?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So to go on trial there, first of all, is a feather in her cap. And then to not get picked up is not a knock on her at all. I very strongly believe most of the other teams in the NWSL would love to have had her, would love to have picked her up.
They ended fourth? But okay. The point difference between first Orlando and fourth was only 5 points.
Yeah, it was
tight. So, yeah.
Casey was huge for a long time. I know that the current versus Pride game was like super hyped up and for very good reason.
Yeah, because I think they were one of the only other teams that were like either undefeated or something like that, or had like the least amount of losses or something.
Yeah, they went on a crazy unbeaten streak for a long time.
Yeah.
So to get scouted at the very least by current, great. She's a super good attacking player. I don't want to use the term deserves to be an NWSL because she is a top flight player. Let's not forget USL Super League, though a nascent young league, is top flight sanctioned and deservedly so. We have a lot of international call-ups. We have, and we'll talk about that later, a lot of international call-ups and a lot of very good players on these teams. But the fact of the matter is she is one of the best players coming up in American women's soccer. She can't be overstated. And the thing I really like, real quick, she spent 2 seasons in Arkansas as a teammate of Parker Goins. There's automatic chemistry right there on our team.
Hell yeah. Oh, I was going to say, it says a lot that there are these players like her, like Lexi Misimo, who would have been first round draft picks for the NWSL, who are seeing the USL Super League as an equal.
Yeah.
Like this is, I don't want to say this helps legitimize us, but it does kind of help legitimize us.
And the league does need that legitimization as a young league. I think we've talked about it before. I've had this conversation with people before. The NWSL was legitimized in large part by US soccer. Keeping
by getting the national team players. Yeah, no, that's valid. Yeah.
We as Super League fans aren't looking at a league that has that kind of assistance from the National Federation. And it's no knock on the NWSL. I understand why U.S. soccer did what they did. And it's a good thing. I'm glad they did it. It built the sport. It built the league. It made the entire women's soccer ecosystem and structure a lot stronger and healthier. But the fact of the matter is, USL isn't operating with those handouts, essentially. Yeah. So to do what we're doing, just by being an alternative, just by being in Dallas, you want to stay in Dallas, you can do that. Just by being a well-built front office, a well-built organization in Sun FC, we're presenting something different, something unique, a chance to come and improve yourself to a league and look, top to bottom, NWSL isn't organizationally stronger, every single team, top to bottom, than Super League is. There's gaps there. There's teams that are weaker. There are teams that are stronger. We all know who we're talking about in both leagues. We ain't got to say it, y'all. But the fact of the matter is, people are picking Dallas. People are picking Tampa Bay. And we need that because there's just not enough opportunities to stay in America and play or trade as a women's soccer player. So for us to get Ava Tankersley, for Dallas to get Lexi Misimo, and if anybody knows she's the real deal, it's Tampa Bay Sun fans. We saw it. Lexi knows what she's doing. So we just need Ava to come in. I think she's going to come right off the bat and work extremely well with her friend and teammate, Parker Goins, who scored a goal in her Sun debut.
Let's just keep this rolling. I love it. I love it.
Exactly. Could you imagine the scenes if in the next game against Brooklyn, she comes on Tankersley and serves up an assist to her former college teammate Parker Goins to get another bop in? Yeah.
The crowd
will explode. The gym would go crazy. Fayetteville, Arkansas would go crazy. We'd be so happy. Yeah. So it's there. And I can't wait to see that kind of link up happen. And it will happen at Big Jim Stadium this Saturday, February 22nd against Brooklyn. Let's talk about Brooklyn a little bit.
So Brooklyn, like us, will be missing a player or two. Yeah. We'll be without So we've been pronouncing her name wrong this whole time. This whole time, by the way. Like, Tom said it correctly earlier. I said it wrong earlier. I will do my best to actually say it correctly. But we've also heard DSB call her Flo. So, like, question marks? So we will be without Flu.
Flu.
It is Flu. Yes, it was literally told to us as rhymes with blue, B-L-E-U.
Yep, blue.
So.
It's the oldest song is the name.
Yeah.
Different.
And then we'll be without Flute and Hawksdaughter. They will be in international duties for Denmark and Iceland, respectively. And then Brooklyn will be without their keeper, Sydney Martinez, which sad face because we love to look at her. She's so beautiful.
Yeah, she's a USF legend. We love to see Sydney come home for us. She's a Tampa United legend too. Yeah. So she deserves to be here. It's a bummer that the international window is what it is because it means we get robbed of Sydney Martinez. But if you're a Brooklyn fan, no need to sweat. You lose Sydney Martinez, one of the best goalies in the league, only to have Nico Purcell step up, who is, how's this work, one of the best goalies in the league.
Great.
Yeah. She.
Great.
Yeah. You got to give a shout out to Purcell because anytime she's been called on in club play for Brooklyn, she's excelled. They've done great, so she's done great. She is one of two Super League players to have been called into that. I love this, by the way, the U.S. Women's National Team Futures Camp. When I first read those words in that order, I went, that's stupid, soccer is stupid, I'm done with the sport. And then I let it happen, it grew on me, I learned a little bit more, I grew as a person, and I love it. In no small part because two Super League players were involved. One being Nico Purcell, the other being Lexi Misimo, who was not announced as a Super League player yet when it happened, but was technically signed by Dallas, to be fair.
Okay.
Yes. Sure. So they lose Sydney Martinez on international duty. And in fact, she played she played Thursday on international duty. For Puerto Rico against Estonia. And Liz, would you believe this? She pitched a shutout. Puerto Rico beat Estonia 1-0.
I'm so surprised.
Yeah.
And so, not at all annoyed. Great. No, I'm very happy. Yeah, we beat Estonia. That's awesome.
Yeah, Puerto Rico, frankly.
I say we because Puerto Rico should just be a state at this point, but I like that they have their own team, but yes.
Hot take, Liz. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, hot takes here on RBLR after dark.
Hot political take. but yes, they are. Puerto Rico is probably my second favorite national team because hey, it's Puerto Rico. and so to see her succeeding at a national team level is great for her. It's great for Brooklyn. It's great for the Super League. And it's, I would say it's great for Tampa Bay Sun that she's not going to be available, but. Like we're saying, Nico Purcell is hardly a drop off. She's a very good future prospect for the U.S. Women's National Team. Yeah, sucks to have to see that in the cage, huh?
Yeah,
and so we will have to play with our lineup more than Brooklyn will. Because we lose Flu, who is playing for, by the way, the Denmark U23 team. She's only 23 years old. I thought she was like a 10-year veteran, to be honest. Yeah, right?
How are all these people infants?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a goal-scoring, tactical-minded baby. And Hawksdaughter is playing for the senior Iceland national team. She's a little long in the tooth. hey, I did it.
Yeah, have you worked that in?
I'm really happy I worked that in, yeah. I know I threw myself off because I'm so happy, in fact. But Iceland will be playing in the UEFA Nations League against Switzerland and France. I would love to watch those games. Hope Andy gets involved in those. But the fact of the matter is we're losing two field players, two important attacking pieces. Brooklyn is losing a goalie. That's essentially swap in, swap out for them. So our lineup will look different than theirs. The only other thing you may have to worry about if you're looking at it from a Brooklyn perspective, they lose Izzy Cox, who retired over the winter break.
Oh, that's right.
Kind of a surprise, shock retirement. She's a young player, early 20s. But, you know, if you got to move on to something else in your life, you got to do it. You know, I got my thoughts. I'm not going to tell her how to live her life. I would have seen the season out. You guys are in first place. Do it. But hey, maybe who knows what she moved on to? You know, I don't.
It could be, there could be health reasons. There could be a lot of reasons.
Maybe somebody's just throwing a pile of money at her. We don't know. yeah, but that is good news for us. If you want to ride the roller coaster of emotions, you go, Cindy Martinez isn't playing. Great. Nico Purcell's playing. Oh no. But Izzy Cox retired. Yay. So it's tough.
Yeah.
They are a good team. They've pitched 4 shutouts in a row. They're undefeated in 6 games. And that undefeated streak goes back to us in October with a 2-1 win up there in Manhattan. So, look, they're the first place.
And we lost at home 0-1.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bummer of a game. I remember that one.
I'm thinking we might have a little more bite this time.
Yeah.
I'm thinking even without Flo and Hawk's daughter, I am maybe a little bit too optimistic, but
yes.
Overly. Yeah, I couldn't think of the word. I'm so sorry. My brain's gone. Yeah. Maybe a little overly optimistic, but I think we might. I think we could eke out a tie. I think we could eke out a tie. And against the number one team in the league, tie is good. I'll take a tie.
Yeah. Hey, tie is great against Dallas. Tie is great against Brooklyn. I've convinced myself throughout the course of this podcast that we might win. I'm not going to change what I predicted earlier and will reveal later. But we lose those 2 good attacking players. Flew has scored goals for us. Hawk's daughter is an important piece. She's an Icelandic national player. Come on. But with who we've added and who Brooklyn has lost with Cox, I like where we're sitting. They haven't played since December 14th. We've got 2 games under our belt already. We're starting to gel. They did technically have a friendly game while they were vacationing in Italy, where they lost 2-0 to Napoli. But I think they just come back from Italy a step slow, all full of pizza.
Yeah.
Full of pasta, just over-carbed, you know?
Delicious wine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Still tipsy on all the wine they had over there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
so I think the fact that we are hot, that we've played 2 games, 2 draws, to be fair. It's not super hot, but warm. At least we're in there. We're in the action.
And we're cooking.
We're cooking. We're in the kitchen.
Hold, let us cook.
so I think it does give us a leg up early. And it kind of relates to what happened in the Fort Lauderdale game, where we came in strong, you know? We dominated possession, and we just didn't capitalize. I think this game may be decided in the first half. If we look good and convert, it's our game. If we look good and don't, the second half is a toss-up, and we may very well lose that toss-up, that coin flip.
We will see. We haven't won a game where we've conceded the first goal or something like that. They keep saying that stat at the beginning, and I've just sort of tuned it out now.
Yeah, that feels right. I know Dallas hasn't lost when they've scored first, and we didn't screw that up for them.
Yeah,
but so it's gonna be the first half to me, Liz. Absolutely. If that goes well, I think we're solid. If it doesn't go well, we could be in for
you're gonna be really drunk by the end of the game. Got it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. If the first half goes well, I'm gonna leave happy. If the first half doesn't go well, I'm gonna be hitting up the drink tent. That's for sure.
It's gonna be a really loud drive home.
It's right there. Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be obnoxious, baby. Hey, it'll be obnoxious if we win.
That's true.
So, do you want to talk about everybody else? You want to talk about
Carolina beat Lexington. I'm so surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, there was a third minute own goal by Lexington. I am also not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, early for an own goal, but come on, it's Lexington. They like to make things exciting.
They do. Mia Corbin got a goal in the 35th. And then Lexington, in true Lexington form, came back and scored a goal in the 82nd just to make it a little bit spicy.
Yep. They don't really activate until that 75th, 80th minute.
Honestly. Something about that 75th minute just really juices them up.
Yeah. It takes a while to get warmed up is what it is. I think if Lexington were allowed to play a scrimmage before, immediately before their league games, they might be a pretty good squad.
They just need a really long warm-up.
Yeah.
Like a really long warm-up.
Yeah, because God knows they put enough balls into the swamp behind us in their warm-up last time they played down here.
Yeah. There was a lot.
Yeah, so I mean, we can do a little Sun alumni walk because it's easy to do with this one. Riley Parker started up top as the lone striker for the Ascent and went 66 minutes. Didn't score, but immediately slotted in a way that she wasn't seeing here. It goes to show that there's different philosophies in the league. That's how soccer works.
We miss you, Riley Parker.
Sorry, it didn't work.
We're sorry we didn't work out, but we're really glad you're getting minutes.
Yeah. Never score against us, but start scoring, please.
Yeah. So Dallas did sign a play, what, like right after our game? Wow.
I think so, actually.
Yeah. Dallas signed Cameron Lancaster from TCU. She was the 2024 WPSL MVP and did win the league with the California Storm.
Yeah. Super good signing. If you win the MVP of the WPSL, you got to get a pro contract. Okay. That's just how it goes. She was I spoke with somebody who's a California Storm fan. Those do exist. There are WPSL fans. And she was a nightmare for opposing teams. She was lights out, really good. If you're a championship fan, if you're a Rowdies fan, you may recall the name Cameron Lancaster. He spells it the man way. She spells it the girl way with a Y. But he's playing in the championship now with Lexington. So the fact that Lexington didn't sign Cameron Lancaster for the Super League. So that they
Such could a missed both, opportunity.
Well, Cameron Lancaster's. It was right there. Come on.
Can you imagine the billboards?
Right. Come
I'm
see
sure they would have hated that.
Come see Cam Lancasters.
Yeah, the Cameron Lancasters.
Yeah. I wanted them to, maybe Dallas will play away to Lexington and like they'll get a chance to have those two shake hands or something. Because that's what American soccer needs right now. It will heal this country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to fix a lot of things. Okay.
That's a tall order, sir.
Yeah. This country's in trouble. besides that, Lexington, speaking of the devilish green horses, they released McKenna Carr, who was kind of one of their bigger signings way early in the season. But she ended up only playing in their first ever match. And that was that. We saw something similar. Spokane had a player that only played in their first ever match and then didn't do nothing, then got released over the winter break. Don't want to speculate on what's going on in those two cities. We don't live there. Those aren't our squads. But interesting to note that it didn't work. Lexington's got a lot of players on their squad, and McKenna Carr didn't break through, didn't make it happen for whatever reason. But again, I like Philip Poole as the coach there. I hope they're exciting. I like them. I hope they get things figured out.
You're very exciting in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. you want to international call up? Yeah. We're hinting at it.
Yeah, so we had a crap ton of international call-ups for the Super League. We are amazing. Holy crap.
No Super League.
Look at how multicultural we are.
Yeah, really.
So as we said before, we did have Sydney Martinez for Brooklyn FC. She was called up to Puerto Rico. We have
Real quick.
Oh, what? Sorry.
No, listeners at home, let's play a game real quick. Say out loud right now what team you think in the league had the most players called up for international duty. Because you're going to be wrong, okay?
I'm not looking at it. Hold on.
Yeah. Oh, Liz.
What?
You're not looking? Oh. You're playing the game too?
Yeah, I was going to play the game too. Oh, wow. What the heck?
Yeah.
If you guess this team, come find me and I'll give you a heat wave or a sun sticker or something. Because Jesus Christ. So really? DC has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players. Holy crap.
The only team with like more than two.
Very like all, they're not even like all together too. We have Wales, we have Haiti, we have Ghana, we have the Philippines and Ethiopia. I love it.
All senior teams too. We're the only team that got more than two players called up, but Flu is going to a U23 side. DC said no. All of our players are senior national team players.
Yes.
So they're getting.
I mean, which speaks to DC's recruiting. They're trying, man.
Yeah. They're looking.
That's gonna suck for their next game, though. Holy crap!
They don't have a game during the break. They're fine.
Oh, they don't. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
They have right. No team.
Yeah, they got Charlie Escort going to Wales, Claire Constant going to Haiti, Jennifer Cujo to Ghana, Katrina Guillot to the Philippines, and Loza Abera to Ethiopia. And a lot of those players are pretty important to Power FC. So, good work, guys.
When your last plays, I feel like all your players are important.
That's fair.
So additionally, we had Ellie Hutchinson from the Carolina Ascent playing for Israel. We also have Naeon Shin.
Yep. Hey, you know Shin.
Yeah, I'm aware. I'm a butcher completely reasonable names.
Sure, fair.
Yeah. She plays for Lexington and was called up for South Korea. We have Amina Ekik for Spokane called up for... She called it for two teams? Or is it one? I do not. I don't do geography.
Liz, so I'm going to give you a pass here because the Balkans are very complicated.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, but Amina Ekic was called up to one single national team for the real country of Bosnia and Herzegovina.
I know Bosnia.
Do you know Herzegovina?
I did not know Herzegovina.
It's part of Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Okay.
It's the other half. The one that you don't know about.
I have never done well in history. Let's put it that way.
They got a really cool flag.
Okay.
All right. We'll all learn about Herzegovina tonight. That's our promise. To the proud Herzegovina.
Yeah. By the next week, I will have read something about the Balkans, I promise.
Yeah. Yes. Whoa.
Oh, boy. Okay. I'm not looking forward to this now.
Don't come back with opinions, is what I'll say.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't go in or come out of that with opinions.
Got it. All right. And then, of course, we had Hochstadter and Flu Nielsen for Iceland and the Denmark U23, respectively.
Yeah. So good on Super League.
Yeah, I think that is super cool. So we had, how many total? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. That's awesome. More than we have teams. That's great.
Yeah, who didn't Who didn't have someone called up? Dallas? Right?
Yeah. 1, 2.
Well, I guess because there's no Texas national team. If there was a Texas
national team. There's two teams missing because that's six. And we have eight teams.
Dallas, and do you want to play the other Super League team game real quick?
Fluted.
Fluted. Oh, yeah. That's kind of surprising. They've got some weird countries represented.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah, they're also really young, and you do notice those are all senior teams, as you noted.
Yeah. Except for the
so, Denver. Yeah.
Hey, it just goes to show Fort Lauderdale sucks. They got no one called up.
Damn. Just, whew.
It's a rivalry.
I mean, no, agreed. Absolutely agreed.
I'm here to stoke the fire.
Yeah. DC had more call-ups than you, Fluted.
Very funny. Very funny. They're a good team, DC, evidently. Well, they got a lot of good players. It's up to their interim coach to put all those pieces together. Because Frederick Riop cannot do it.
All right. Do we want to do score predictions?
Yeah. Wrap it up? Yeah. I'll start because I, over the past hour or so, I've almost convinced myself to not say what I'm about to say, but I'm going to stick to my guns. I think we go up to Brooklyn and I don't want to say it. I think we lose 2-1.
Boo.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm taking the Cowards 1-1 draw.
Ooh. All right. Super producer Eureka, the only one with any faith in our team, evidently.
Dang.
Yeah. That's a shame. That's unusual, actually. He's going 2-1.
He's going 2-1. Our statistics model, Sunrise, says 1-1 draw. So. Yeah.
Agrees with you.
Just saying.
So let's see. I would love to be proved wrong. I'd frankly love if Sunrise and Liz were proved wrong.
Yeah, I'd like to be wrong.
I want Eureka to be right. Let's go up there.
James with the 3-1 win? Who is he? Who has replaced James? Who has replaced him?
Optimistic James does not know. Okay.
Hey. No, I gotta check in with Jamie. That's a robot that's replaced James.
Eureka, yeah. I hope you're wrong, and I hope James is right.
I hope James is so right. Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's a fun spread. I don't think we've ever had such variance in our predictions.
Yeah, and it's all flip-flopped.
and it's all topsy-turvy, too. Yeah, let's go up there. Let's prove Tom wrong. Let's get that dub, baby.
Yeah. Remember to like, comment, subscribe. Hit all the buttons. At RBLR Sun FC. Ours are down here, too. But make sure you hit all the buttons so you don't miss a single episode. Check us out on YouTube. Look at our pretty faces. Look at Tom's adorable kitten. Look at Fafo. Oh, my goodness. Oh, little orange man. I love him. I'm biased because he's my nephew.
He is. He's a sweet boy, though.
Yes, he is. He's the bestest boy. All right. Like, comment, subscribe, all of the things. And we will see you next week.
Let's go, Tom.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.